You are rolling out after touchdown. The mains are down, the nose is coming, and then something that should be routine, something that has happened thousands of times on that airframe, does not happen the way it is supposed to. That is how fast a runway excursion begins. I am Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we are going to talk about what happened at Mashhad International Airport in Iran, why it matters, and what the numbers on runway excursions tell us about one of aviation's most persistent and preventable killers. Let me bring in today's sponsor first. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, now, Mashhad Aseparan Airlines. Boeing 737-500 landed at Mashhad International Airport in northeastern Iran. What followed was not a normal rollout. The aircraft veered off the runway. The nose gear collapsed, and what should have been the most routine part of the flight, the part where you grease it on, slow down, and taxi to the gate, turned into a runway excursion that left an airliner sitting in the dirt. As of this broadcast, passenger count and injury figures are still being sorted out by Iranian aviation authorities. Aerotime, which broke the story, reported the incident with the aircraft off the paved surface after landing. The nose gear collapse is confirmed. Beyond that, the investigation is just beginning. Here's what you need to know before we get into the broader picture. The 737-500 is a member of the 737 Classic family. That is the second generation of the Boeing 737 line introduced in the 1980s. These are not new airplanes. The -500 specifically entered service in 1987 and production ended in 1999. The youngest of them are pushing 27 years old. The oldest are nearly 40. That matters for a reason we will get to in a moment. Aseparan Airlines is an Iranian carrier that has operated the Classic series for years. Iran's aviation sector operates under a unique set of pressures, and those pressures are not separate from what happened in Mashhad. They are part of the story. Because of decades of international sanctions, Iranian carriers have had extremely limited access to Western aircraft, spare parts, and maintenance support. Boeing and Airbus aircraft that fly in Iranian skies are often older, and keeping them airworthy under those conditions is genuinely difficult. This is not an excuse for a runway excursion. It is context. And context is what separates a news headline from an understanding of why something happened. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, and the International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, both track runway excursions as a major safety category. The Flight Safety Foundation, which has done some of the most rigorous work on this problem, classifies runway excursions as one of the top three causes of fatal accidents in commercial aviation globally. Think about that number. Not near the top. In the top three. Consistently, a runway excursion is any event where an aircraft departs the paved surface during takeoff or landing. That includes veer-offs, where the aircraft leaves the side of the runway, and overruns, where it runs off the end. What happened in Mashhad appears to be a veer-off combined with a gear collapse. Though the investigation will determine the sequence of events and which failure led to which, here is the breakdown the Flight Safety Foundation has documented over many years of data. The majority of runway excursions happen during landing, not takeoff, landing. And within landing excursions, the contributing factors almost always fall into a handful of categories: unstabilized approaches, excessive speed at touchdown, contaminated runways, crosswind, brake or tire failure, and structural issues with the landing gear itself. The nose gear on a jet transport airplane is an engineered marvel, but it is also a highly stressed component. Every landing cycles the gear through compression loads, side loads if there is any crosswind, or veer on touchdown, and then the drag of the nose wheel coming down onto the pavement. Over thousands of cycles, over years and decades of service, metal fatigues, seals wear, hydraulic systems degrade, maintenance catches most of it. Most of it, when maintenance access is restricted, when parts are hard to come by, when the inspection cycle gets stretched because there is no alternative aircraft to put on the line, the margin shrinks. This is a systems problem, not just a maintenance technician problem. For those of you flying piston singles and light twins, I want to pull this story out of the airliner world for a moment and connect it to something you deal with on every flight. Your nose gear is also a consumable. Your shimmy damper, your nose gear strut, your tow bar fittings, the torque links that keep the nose wheel aligned. These things wear. The annual inspection is supposed to catch the trend before it becomes a failure. But between annuals, you're the one doing the walk around. You're the one who notices the strut is low, the shimmy is new, the play in the nose wheel has gotten worse. The discipline of the pre-flight is not theater. It is the last line of defense before you discover a problem in the worst possible place, which is on the runway at 60 knots with the nose coming down. Now let us talk about what happens in the cockpit before a runway excursion, because in most cases, the excursion is not random. There is a story that leads to it. The approach matters. The stabilized approach concept exists because research, decades of accident data, and simulator studies shows that crews who arrive at the threshold outside the stabilized parameters, too fast, too high, off center line, in a power transient, are significantly more likely to have a bad outcome. The call is always the same. Go around. The go around is free. It costs you time, some fuel, a radio call, and a few minutes of coordination. What it gives you is another chance at a stabilized approach. Another chance to arrive at the threshold with the energy you want, the power you want, and the airplane in the attitude you want. The numbers on missed approaches in commercial aviation are actually quite low compared to where they probably should be. Crews are reluctant to go around. There is social pressure. There is schedule pressure. There is the feeling that going around is admitting you got something wrong. None of that is rational, but all of it is human. The Flight Safety Foundation's Approach and Landing Accident Reduction Toolkit, which the industry calls ALAR, has been in circulation since the late 1990s. It laid out in plain language exactly how many accidents were preceded by approaches that were unstabilized by the time the crew reached 500 feet above the ground in visual conditions, or 1,000 feet in instrument conditions. The answer was most of them. The stabilized approach criteria are not suggestions, they are the floor. If you're not stabilized at those gates, the correct action is a go-around every time, no discussion. That discipline is hard to maintain when you have been flying for 12 hours. It is hard to maintain when the weather is good and the runway is long and the airplane feels fine. It is easiest to skip the call when everything seems okay, and that is exactly when the habit has to be strongest, because the approach that seems fine is not always the approach that is fine. I want to come back to the 737-500 for a moment. The Classic series has a long and largely good safety record. The 737 and all its variants is the most produced commercial jetliner in history. The -500 specifically was popular with regional carriers because of its size. Roughly 100 to 130 passengers, and its range it could do routes that the larger -400 could not serve economically. But any aircraft operating in a constrained maintenance environment on an aging airframe is carrying risk that a well-supported aircraft does not. That is true of a 40-year-old Cessna 172 on a Part 91 ramp, and it is true of a 35-year-old Boeing 737 on an Iranian carrier. The principle is universal age is manageable. Age combined with deferred maintenance is not. Iranian aviation authorities will investigate this incident. ICAO will likely be involved. Whether the findings ever become fully public is uncertain, given the political environment around Iranian civil aviation. That is a frustration for the safety community because every accident has lessons, and lessons that stay locked inside a single country's investigation files do not improve safety anywhere else. The Flight Safety Foundation and ICAO's Accident Investigation Guidance both emphasize the importance of sharing findings across borders. The entire safety management system framework is built on the idea that learning from one incident prevents the next one somewhere else. Secrecy in accident investigation costs lives. For those of you in the United States, the National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, has one of the most transparent accident investigation processes in the world. Their reports are public. Their docket materials are public. The probable cause findings are public. You can read the full report on any major U.S. accident going back decades. That transparency is a feature, not an embarrassment. It is how the system learns. Here's what I would leave you with today. Every runway excursion has a beginning. The beginning is almost never the moment the aircraft departs the pavement. The beginning is in the approach, in the energy management, in the landing technique, in the maintenance history of the gear system, in the inspection that was or was not done. By the time the nose gear is collapsing, the decisions that led there are already in the past. Your walk around matters. Your stabilized approach call matters. Your willingness to go around matters. These things are not abstract safety concepts. They are the practical tools that separate an uneventful landing from a veer off in the dirt. The people on that 737 in Mashhad needed those tools to work. We do not yet know the full story of what happened, but the investigation will eventually trace the line from the outcome back to its origin. It always does. Sources today include AeroTimes reporting on the Mashhad incident and data from the Flight Safety Foundation's ALAR and runway excursion studies. More at radiohangar.com. Tower, signing off.